You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Welcome to Eternity Church. You can have a seat. You know, first of all, I have to say thank you to Pastor Jesse for entrusting me with this stage this morning while he is out camping or glamping, I think, as he put it. Really excited and honored to be able to preach this morning. I actually had a pretty substantial conflict this weekend that I was able to work through. My plan had been to watch about 12 hours of British Open coverage, both Saturday and today. But again, I managed to work through that. Everybody clap for the British Open. That's right. So just so you know, I have gone completely dark. The cell phone is being shut off. I have set DVR for record. So I do not want any British Open updates from anyone during the service or after, okay? I don't want to hear any Tiger Woods and nothing like that, all right? And if you do share an update with me, I will physically assault you, okay? So this morning we're going to be continuing on in the Love Your Life series. And so if you would pull out your Bibles, we're going to turn to Acts chapter 16, and we're going to start at verse 6. So Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now let me set the stage for you here. The Apostle Paul is getting ready to embark on his second missionary journey. And so if you can imagine Paul, he is making all sorts of plans and preparations to chart the course ahead. And the plan is to go into Asia and to revisit some of the churches he's worked with before. Now, can you imagine this guy and his group making plans to leave for weeks, months, years? They don't have planes, trains, and automobiles, right? They're going on foot. Imagine what the preparation looks like to do that. Now, a couple weeks ago, my family and I, my wife and three kids, we went camping ourselves, tent camping, not glamping. And it was like when we're preparing for that two-day journey, it looked like Bass Pro Shops had thrown up in the back of our van. I mean, we need a semi-trailer to haul all of this junk. So I can only imagine how much planning it took Paul as he's getting ready to embark on this journey. And in fact, in Acts 15, we read about the dust-up that occurred and just trying to figure out who's going to go along on this journey. Paul gets into it with a guy named Barnabas, and they can't agree on exactly who should go. So lots of preparation, lots of planning as they get ready to chart the course to Asia. That's where we pick up Acts chapter 16, verse 6. It says this. They went through the Phrygian and Galatian territory, but they were prevented by the Holy Spirit from speaking the word in Asia. When they had gone through Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to do so. So they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas. During the night, a vision appeared to Paul, and a man from Macedonia stood and urged him, "Cross over into Macedonia and help us." When Paul saw the vision, he immediately sought to go forth into Macedonia, for we reckoned that God had called us to tell the good news to them. When we had set sail from Troas, we had a straight run to Samothrace. So here's what's going on. Paul's made all his preparations. They're ready to go. They set out, try to get into Asia, not once, not twice, and it says the Holy Spirit shuts them down. Not going in that direction. Not going to Asia, Paul. You are going to Europe. God comes to Paul in a vision, sends him to Europe instead. It was a heavenly detour. Paul and his posse found themselves on a path that they had not expected to be on just a few days or weeks or months earlier. Anybody else in here find themselves in a spot today that you didn't expect you would be in just days or weeks or months or years before? I know I do. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. How to love our lives in the detours. How to love our lives in the uncertainties. How to love our lives in the changes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. I thank you, Lord God, for your word, for your encouragement, Lord God. I thank you that you would show us how to love our lives in the detours, how to find joy in the detours, how to move ahead in faith in those heavenly detours, Lord God. I pray that as we are sitting here today, you would download into all of our hearts, into all of our spirits, Lord God, your vision and your plan for our lives, and you would embolden us to take a step in faith to embark on that journey. In Jesus' name, amen. So how do we love our lives in the detours? How do we love our lives in the detours? Three things jump out at me from this story. We receive, we respond, and we relax. How do we love our lives in the detours? We receive, we respond, we relax. First, we receive. We must be receptive. We must be susceptible to the move of God in our lives. We must be receptive to his voice as he calls us forward. But of course, to be able to receive what God is saying to us, we must first accept the fundamental truth that God still speaks. Turn to your neighbor and say, God speaks. See, my problem is that I've got an awfully short memory. So even though I've seen God do some amazing things in my life, speak in amazing ways in the lives of those around me, sometimes I forget. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am a lawyer by trade. And if you didn't lose all of your respect for me by me telling you that, let me tell you that much of my practice has been involved, I've been involved with representing insurance companies. So I'm like the worst human being on earth. And in fact, as part of that practice, what I primarily practice in is life insurance and annuities. And what that means is that I am a lot of fun to talk to at parties. So let me tell you a little bit about my career path. After undergraduate school, I actually worked for a few years in broadcasting in the bright lights of Sioux City, Iowa. That's here for Sioux City. I covered such hard-hitting news stories as Dewey the Library Cat. That's a good one, award-winning. In 2005, I left the bright lights of Sioux City to attend law school here in Des Moines at Drake. In 2007, I graduated, and then I started right away out of a clerkship at a law firm downtown. That law firm is the biggest law firm in the state. It's got about 100 lawyers. It is certainly one of the most prestigious law firms in the state, and I would consider it the best, but again, I'm biased. Spent the first few years just working my tail off, and if you've ever heard horror stories about the hard work you put in as an associate at a big law firm, they are all true. There was no such thing as a vacation or a weekend or a holiday or a night or paternity leave or any of those things, right? We're all working our tails off, right? And I remember vividly the all-nighters and the hard work to try to gain the beholden partner status. And lo and behold, 2014, I had arrived. All the hard work had paid off, and I was invited to become a partner at the firm. How many know it's a good thing to become a partner? It's a good thing to become a part owner of a business, right? You've got the authority now. You've got the security. You can direct your own practice and build your own book of business. And that's what I continued to do over the next several years. I was bringing in clients. I was developing this insurance practice. Everything was going swimmingly. And in fact, by 2018, my practice, I think it was the best that it had ever been. Objectively speaking, here was the problem. Spiritually, I was starting to feel unsettled. And I don't know how to describe it. If you've been through it before, I think you know what I'm talking about. But somewhere in my spirit, I knew that a change in season was coming. And I knew that it was coming professionally, but I didn't know what it looked like. And so here I am, things are going well. I'm a partner at the law firm. This goal that I had, I've achieved, and I'm working, continue to work toward and build my practice. But I know in my heart that this isn't where I'm gonna be 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years down the road. And it's not because I don't really, really like it. It's not because things aren't going well, but it's because I know that God is going to move me in a different direction. But the problem is I don't have any idea what that looks like. And you can imagine as the weeks and the months and the years, frankly, 1 or 2 years move by of me having that unsettled feeling. I start to get some anxiety building up. I start to get some frustration building up. God, why aren't you giving me direction? I'm ready to go. And occasionally I would look through job postings to see if anything tripped my trigger. There was one in September of last year that I saw and I thought, you know, it's a local insurance company. Seems like it would be a good spot where I could get in and invest in the business, you know, have some ownership over the business. It'd be a good opportunity. So I applied to that one job. I had not applied for any jobs prior to that since 2004, other than applying for clerkships in law school. So I applied for that job, didn't hear anything. So I had no direction, nothing. We were just treading water. Until October 28th of 2017, I was in here on a Saturday night, one of the first Saturday night church services. And I'd actually gone to use the restroom. Don't tell Pastor Jesse, okay? So I was in the restroom during service, and I'm diligently washing my hands like you all should, okay? And a gentleman who I had never met before comes up behind me, he's gonna use the faucet as well, and he introduces himself, I introduce myself, and that was it. Now, for purposes of this story going forward, I will refer to him only as Bathroom Guy, okay? So never seen Bathroom Guy before, introduce ourselves, I'm out of there, I come back into service. When I come back in, it's toward the end of the service, and Pastor Jesse has invited folks up to get prayer. And during that time, he comes back to my wife and I and says, hey, unless you have your own business to do with the Lord, would you come up here and pray over the folks that need prayer? And so, to be honest, I can't remember a single time in my 10 years at Eternity where I turned Pastor Jesse's invitation down, where I said, no, you know, I'm not going to come down and pray over folks because I got my own praying to do. This was the one time, because I had had enough. And it was time that I just set aside some time at the end of service and say, God, I need you to move now, because I am sick and tired of treading water. If we're going to do this thing, let's do it. I don't know what we're doing, but would you just give me some sort of vision? And so I'm standing there praying, and suddenly out of nowhere, it's Bathroom Guy. He comes over to me and he says, excuse me, I feel like the Lord has something he wants to share with you. Would you mind if I pray with you? And of course I say yes. But the first thing that goes through your mind in that situation is, has this guy washed his hands? Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Doc. That's it. And, you know, and the other thing is, believe this or not, I'm not a particularly social guy. I mean, I generally just don't like people. So I'm immediately uncomfortable. But let me tell you this, just to give you some context here. Again, we've been going to this church for 11 years. And I cannot remember a single other time where somebody came up to me and said, hey, I feel compelled to pray with you. Or where somebody has come up and said, hey, I feel like the Lord has something he wants to share with you. Never before. Not that I can remember. And so Bathroom Guy starts to pray with me. And he says, the Lord is speaking to me that he has a refreshing, a renewal of your profession, of your career that is coming up. Okay, I get you. Loud and clear. I see where we're going. I was floored. Bathroom Guy could not have had any idea, right, that I'm sitting there praying about direction in my profession. And here he is sharing that word with me. And so what do I do? The first thing I do, of course, is I text Pastor Jesse, and I'm like, okay, here's what happened. What are your thoughts? Because important safety tip, when you feel like God is moving you in a fundamentally different direction, or somebody comes to you and says, hey, I've got a word from God they want to share with you, here's a great thing to do. Reach out to Pastor Jesse or Pastor Jed or the leadership team at the church just to share it with them so they can partner with you in prayer, so they can partner with you in wisdom and discernment, so that together you have the benefit of that collective spiritual wisdom. And so I reach out to Pastor Jesse. I'm sharing this with my wife, and I'm encouraged. And I think, okay, you know what? God, take your time. Whatever. We'll keep doing this thing. 2 weeks later, I get an email from a job recruiter. It's that single application that I submitted on September 8th. It's been hanging out there for 2.5 months. Hadn't heard ever anything. The recruiter wanted to set up an interview. So I go through the interview, go through 15 interviews, 12 hours of interviews over the next 6 weeks or so. By the end of December, I had a job offer, and a few days later, I had accepted it. See, God spoke in a real way on October 28th in this church. And God continued to speak throughout that process as my wife and I and my family and I are praying about things we need to hear from God for me to take this detour. God, if I'm gonna pivot, if I'm gonna change direction, I need to hear from you on these things. Please show me. Please affirm that this is the right spot. And over and over and over and over, God was faithful to affirm those things along the way. And by the end of December, I was ready to take that step of faith. See, I was reminded over those 6 or 8 weeks how vividly and how powerfully God continues to speak in our lives, that he continues to speak in real and relevant and meaningful ways. The question is, are we listening when he speaks? Are we listening when he speaks? How do you hear from God? It's real simple. If you want to hear from your spouse or your children or a friend, what do? You set up some time to spend with them. You spend time in their presence. You communicate with them. How do we hear from God? We spend time with him. We spend time in his presence. We learn what his voice sounds like. We learn how to discern his voice from the static in our world. Now, I could give you lots of suggestions on how to do that, right? You could do a Bible study or come to church or put on worship music or whatever. There are lots of different ways that people accomplish that. But the bottom line is you carve out time to spend in his presence. But the second question is, even if we're hearing from him, even if we're hearing God's voice, his call, his leading in our lives, do we want to listen? Are we willing to listen? Are we susceptible to his spirit and where it is moving us? I'm going to be 100% honest with you. If I am Paul in that situation, where I have put all this preparation into going into Asia, when that first door closes, as I try to get to where I'm going, I might be inclined to say, listen, like the Blues Brothers, I'm on a mission from God here. Ain't nothing gonna stop me. And I'm gonna forge ahead into Asia in Jesus' name. But that wasn't what God's plan was. God was calling him elsewhere, and thank goodness that Paul was receptive to the voice of God. Folks, I could have stayed at that law firm the rest of my life. But I know that I would have missed out on some great things that God has ahead. And I know that when we step into his vision for our lives, that's when we find real direction and real purpose. Are you listening this morning, folks? Are we listening? How do we love our lives in the detours? We receive and we respond. One of the most striking things about this story is that Paul takes his group and they decide to go in a completely different direction with something less than 100% certainty that God was calling them in that direction. Look at the language here. The language in the scripture does not say that God called them to Macedonia. What it says is that Paul had a vision and that we concluded or we reckoned that God was calling us to Macedonia. And note what they did after they concluded it. They went immediately. These folks were ready to go when God called them. Why? Because they had the faith to believe that no matter how good their plans were, and they were good plans, no matter how good their plans were, God's plans were even better. One of my final interviews for this job position, one of the executives that I met with asked a pretty simple question. Christian, after 10 years at your firm, you're a partner, things are going well, why now do you want to throw it all away? It's a fair question. I asked myself many times during the process that same question. And my answer was simple. Because I was willing to give up something great for something I believed would be even better. And I'm glad that I did. Because I continued to see God meet and exceed my expectations even 6 months in. Paul was he was willing to abandon his plans because he had a supernatural perspective. He had a supernatural perspective. He knew that no matter how good his plans, God's were better. And we read in Philippians, what does Paul write? He says, I know that everything here, I consider it rubbish compared to the all-surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. He had a supernatural perspective about his plans. Do we have that same perspective? Do we have that same faith? The faith to throw away whatever it is we think is important or the things that we think we must do to follow God's call in our life? Do we have the faith to go where God calls us to go? To move where God calls us to move, to speak when he calls us to speak, to fix our eyes on the path ahead rather than clinging to what we left behind, to say yes to God before we even know what his question is. Do we have that sort of faith, folks? Because Paul did. Paul was ready to embark on the journey that God set before him, even though it was a detour from what he had planned. Paul was ready to fix his eyes on this new endeavor rather than thinking about what he left behind and his own lost plans. And God led Paul and his group on an incredible journey where lives were changed, souls were saved. We continue to see the incredible move of God throughout. We even see the first European convert on that journey. Thank God for heavenly detours. So what is holding you back today from responding to where God wants to take you? Are you ready to respond? How do we love our life in the detours? We receive, we respond, we relax. We relax. How can we relax? Because God's got this. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got this. See, this is a story of God's provision. This is a story of God showing up at just the right time and equipping his people with just what they need when they need it. You know, you think about Paul's travel itinerary, right? He's heading into Asia to visit folks he knew, he talked to before. That sounds okay. But in this moment, God takes him in a completely different geographical direction on a journey that led to Paul being beaten, chased out of town, put in jail, and then he ends up in like the most wicked city on the planet of Corinth. But I continue to be amazed as I read this story how God continues to show up at just the right time. We read about Paul's time in Corinth, and there's this spot where Paul is clearly getting fed up. He's clearly getting fed up with the attitudes and the abuse that he is facing. And band, you can come on up. Paul's fed up, and what happens? God shows up again at just the right time. And what does the Lord speak into Paul's life? He says this, Paul, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you. Just what Paul needed to hear. Just what Paul needed to hear, just when he needed to hear it. See, when God gives us a task, he gives us what we need to complete it. Make no mistake. When God gives you a task, he will give you the power to complete it. He will give you the strength to complete it. He will give you the courage to complete it. Do you trust him this morning, folks? My final set of interviews for this position were in New York City. The home office was in the World Trade Center. And I flew out there, and in the morning of the interviews, I went out to grab breakfast, and I walked out and looked up at the World Trade Center complex. And in that moment, like the enormity of the journey just started to overwhelm me. And so I went back to my hotel room and I just started to pray. I just started to pray for God's guidance and his peace. You know, I was confident. I was strangely confident I was going to get the job offer, but I was not so confident I would have the faith to accept it. And so I was praying that God would give me the faith to step away from something I had invested so much into if it was the right move. That he would give me the faith to step away from something that I was comfortable in, that I was finding success in, that I had authority in, that I had security in. Give me the faith to step away from that into something else that you have for me, Lord God. And in that moment, and I do not say this lightly, but in that moment, four words were pressed upon my spirit, and I feel like the Lord was very clearly speaking these four words: do not be afraid. The same four words he said to Paul in Corinth. And in that moment, I knew that God's hand was on my journey and that he would give me the faith to step out on this new path if it was the right one. And that even if I stepped onto the wrong path, he would be there to redirect me like he did Paul. I could relax. Now that didn't mean the road would be easy, that life would be a cakewalk. It certainly wasn't for Paul. But what I love about that story of Paul's heavenly detour is that it says when he was directed to Europe, the path from Troas to Samothrace, the path he sailed from Troas to Samothrace was a straight run. It was a straight path, a prosperous voyage. And what does it say in Proverbs? That when we acknowledge him, when we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, he will make our paths straight. It doesn't say he'll make our life easy. He will make our paths straight. He will give us purpose. He will give us direction. Thank God for heavenly detours and his faithfulness in those detours. How do we love our life? We relax and trust that he will lead us to the right destination. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't think I'm being presumptuous when I say that we will all face heavenly detours in our lives, that we will find ourselves in a spot we never expected. And I'm thankful that when we read the story in Acts chapter 16, that we see a God who is faithful and a God that will provide in those moments. I can't tell you how strongly I believe that there are folks here today who find them in that same unsettled place that I found myself about 10 months ago and months before that. I believe there are folks here today that want to hear from God, need to hear from God, need to find direction to see his vision, and need to step out in faith, need to respond. And so if you're in that spot this morning, I'm going to invite you to come down as the band plays in just a few moments. I'm going to invite you to come down. We're going to partner in prayer with you. Scripture says that when we seek, we will find. When we ask, we shall receive. And we're going to pray with you that God speaks into your life and you find supernatural direction this morning. Would everybody just close your eyes and bow your head for a moment? I want to talk to another group of folks here today. And that's a group that you find yourself here today, and maybe you hear God calling for the first time. Or maybe, let's put it a different way, you're hearing him. You're desiring to listen for the first time. For the first time, you want to step out and respond to his call in your life. You want to step out and accept the love and the peace and the hope and the forgiveness that he will bring to you. You want to step out in faith and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is time to respond. You are hearing him clearly. He is speaking to your heart, and today is the day. I want to speak to you this morning because I believe that maybe, just maybe, my career was turned upside down because I needed to share that story this morning with you. And so if that's you this morning, I want you to pray a prayer with me in about 30 seconds, and I want everybody to pray that prayer with me. And I want to encourage you, as you do, just to step out in faith and accept the Lord into your heart. So let's pray. Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died on a cross for my sins and that he rose again to give me life, hope, peace, joy, and everlasting life. please forgive me for the things I've done wrong, and help me to be all that you designed me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.